Only when you are standing in front of a raging river, you have no other way to cross. You pray only when it's convenient. You pray only when you need something. Only when there's something very specific that God can give you in that moment. When do you pray? And when you pray, what do you pray for? You pray for yourself. You pray for others. You pray for the world. Or do you pray just for that need, for the thing that you have right there that you want God to fix? The gospel lesson today seems a little peculiar. Jesus here is very long-winded. I never want to accuse our Lord and Savior of being long-winded, but this is a time when this passage is so confusing. I have read it over and over again this week just to try to figure out exactly what's happening here and what Jesus is saying. The short of it is that the passage we hear today in the Gospel of John is a prayer. Jesus is praying to God. It's at the very end of the Last Supper. It comes immediately after the lesson we heard last Sunday, after Jesus has talked all about love ad nauseum. Jesus has gone on and on with his disciples, telling them what it means to love one another, what they are to do, how they are to live in the world as his disciples. And after he gives them copious amounts of instruction and encouragement, he ends his lesson to them looking up to God with his prayer. And in this prayer, we hear what is most important to Jesus. We hear in this prayer the things that are most important for him to lift up to God in his final prayer and his final need before he is arrested and goes to his crucifixion. So what does Jesus say? He says here that he prays for his disciples. And he says to God, God, I have made your name known to those who you gave me from the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. They have kept your word. Everything that you have given to me comes from you. And Jesus basically says, I'm giving it all back. If Jesus knows that he is about to leave his disciples and to go in to be with God, he hands his disciples and his ministry and all that he has done and everything he has worked for, he commits it all back to God. Remember that ultimately, God's in control. God's in charge of everything. God gives us all that we have, the air that we breathe, the life that we have. And Jesus commends it all back to God. And he asks God three things for his disciples, three things for his followers. And we're all included in that, not just those 12 around the table. Jesus says to God, God, please protect them. God, please unify them. That they may be one as you and I are one. And then finally, Jesus says, help them to know the truth. Protect them, to unify them, that they may know the truth. That was most important for Jesus. His dying wish, you could say, that we may be one, that we may know the truth. Prayer is our opportunity to be at one with God. It's our mechanism to make us one with God and one with Jesus in that communion with God, our Creator and our Savior and Redeemer. When we pray, we give up ourselves to God and our concerns and our issues and our hopes and our fears and our dreams. When we give that to God, God's always there, always listening, always with us. So for those of you who have had the benefit of coming to the Children's Chapel service, I told the 8 o'clock crowd this morning it would be their favorite service. It lasts 10 minutes. 10:30, if you're willing to stay in church a little bit longer. If you want your music, the 8 o'clock crowd, I told them they're not allowed to not come to church at 8 o'clock anymore because they know that there's a shorter service. But it is 10 minutes, 10:15 to 10:25. And one of the things we started doing in the service is something called the five-finger prayer. It's a way to teach our kids about the different ways So the 5-meter prayer, we put our hands up like this. If you want to come next week, you can come check it out. Adults have to sit in the back. If you don't have kids, kids get to sit down. We say to the kids, I love you, God. Thank you, God. I'm sorry, God. Help others, God. And help me, God. So we start out with them just the same way we do here. We say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. That is in prayer, acknowledging the goodness of God. It doesn't ask for anything. It doesn't request anything. It's an opportunity for us to begin our worship thanking God just for being God. Adoration. So that's, I love you, God. And then thank you, God. Thank God for all the things we have in our lives. How often when you say your prayers, you just take some time to thank God for all the good stuff. Thank God for your relationships, for your health, for all the things that you don't want to take for granted. Next time, I'm sorry about it. It's an especially important word for kids. For adults, too. What all do we need to apologize to God for this week? What are the things that we have done, the things that we have let them do, that have kept us far less away from God? So I love you, God. Thank you, God. I'm sorry, God. Then help others, God. Who in our lives needs God's attention? Who we know in our lives and in our world, people that we read about in the news, countries or peoples that are in most need of God's presence and redemption. Because in praying that, God may also speak to us about how we can meet those needs as we wish God help. And then finally, help me. Where do I get help this week? What's that river that I'm trying to cross and I can't find a way to the other side? So in our household, I've started saying this prayer with my kids every night. And I get them to sit. And I've learned to try to ask them, what's something you want to thank God for tonight? What's something you want to apologize to God for tonight? Who do you know that needs help? And how's God going to help you? What I've learned is that kids can turn even the holiest prayer into a stall tactic. So if you're going to do this with your kids, I suggest that you say, what is the one thing that you want to thank God for? And what is the one thing that you want to apologize to God for? Otherwise, they'll say, oh no, Dad, there's that one more thing. And I say, no, it's going to fall. So don't do that. Mothers, I'm sure, already instinctively know that. Fathers, I'm telling you, fathers know that. What do we pray for? A few weeks ago, I read a quote. I don't know who to attribute it to. I don't know who was the first person to say this. But somebody asked the question, if God were to answer all of your prayers, would anyone else's life look different? If God were to answer all of your prayers today, would anybody else's life change? Helps us to consider who and what we pray for. Are our prayers to God only about ourselves? Are they selfish? God, I need help doing this. God, I'm really sorry I did that. God, I'll praise you as long as you do this other thing for me. Or are our prayers like Jesus' prayer? Do they allow God in to see what is most important to us? Do our prayers allow us to look at those that we have relationships with those around our world, with those in our community? Remember,